And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. During the breakdown of Western civilization, the breakdown of culture, the breakdown of just about everything, faith, family, and freedom. But we certainly see the breakdown in culture. Somehow, we make it from Johann Sebastian Bach as being the high point of culture and Western civilization to, Marilyn Manson. And the rape rap of guys like Eminem, who are selling tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of albums. And our culture has gone downhill fast, and the apostasy is raging extremely, extremely aggressive because of people like Marilyn Manson, who were raised in Christian homes and went to nice little Plymouth Brethren Christian schools and eventually became the shock rock sort of cultural presentations we get today, and influenced the homeschool murderers of the present day. We talk about the homeschool murders that happened in the state of Colorado over the last 3 to 4 years, and we find that these young men who wound up murdering a number of people at YWAM and down at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs a couple of years ago were influenced by Marilyn Manson and the music of Marilyn Manson. No surprise there that the culture affects the way that people act. Now, that's not to say that all the culture that is produced by people like Marilyn Manson and others are going to influence people into murder and in doing terrible, terrible deeds of murder, but indeed the culture itself plays a role in the way that people think and the way that people act. And no question about that in my mind. And friends, we need to remember that it's not good enough to take your kids out of the public schools and not teach them evolution and give them something of a biblically worldview-oriented material over, say, 5, 8, 10 years of their lives and assume that everything's going to turn out right. If they're listening to the same music that all the neighbor kids are listening to, if they're watching the same TV shows that all the neighbor kids are watching, if they're watching the same movies that all the neighbor kids are watching, if they're attending a youth group where all the kids are listening to the same music and participating in the same culture and watching the same movies and surfing the same internet and picking up the same YouTube videos and playing the same computer games, they're probably going to get the same sort of product. They're going to become the same sort of thing that's going to happen to the 99% of the kids that are attending the public schools. So the culture really does make a difference. And I have in studio with me Philip Telfer, who is a cultural expert. He's really spent the last 15, 20 years of his life focusing on what's going on in the culture, what's happening with music, what's happening with video games, what's happening with computer game addictions, and other things that are happening to kids in the Christian church and Christian youth groups, and, of course, the homeschool population as well. Philip, welcome back to our studio. It's good to have you tune in with us today.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me.
Philip, is it true that you're going to get the same product if your kids are being homeschooled and yet listening to the same music, watching the same movies, playing the same computer games? Do you think we're going to get the same product?
Well, I was shocked, Kevin, because for many years our ministry was focusing on the apostate church and getting a message that was needed. And I felt that speaking about these media issues and cultural issues to the homeschool community was speaking too much to the choir until I started meeting men like you and others who would raise their eyebrows and say, Philip, you haven't been around the block enough. Mm-hmm. So I began to venture into speaking at the homeschool conventions and interacting more with youth and with parents. And I found that there was hardly any difference between a lot of the same issues, and it always comes back to the same type of input.
Philip, I think the average homeschool conference, the average homeschool introductory seminar, really is made up of the average Americans, the average ordinary people that it's the same population, it's the same distribution that you get in Safeway or in Walmart. Homeschoolers have taken their kids out of the public schools. Okay, to that point, they may have accomplished something good, but they really haven't done anything yet. Okay, you've removed them from the public schools. If they're getting the same media, if they're on the same internet, it may be that they get the same product after 18 years.
Well, the big shocker for me was I used to minister in inner city Chicago, and then the Lord called us out to a rural Illinois town. And I was expecting when we moved out to this small town to experience something more innocent, something more like Mayberry and
Opie. No. Philip, have you seen the study done by Alberta State University up in Canada on porn downloads in urban areas versus rural areas? What they found was in rural areas, porn download rates much higher for the 16 to 20-year-old young men because, and I think the reason is because these young men in the rural areas find more opportunity for this sort of the sort of relationships that are anonymous, and it's sort of similar to what happens in the urban areas, but they get that anonymous experience in the basement, and they don't get it in the urban areas as much.
Well, the big shock for me was that once again I found was that even in these rural areas, the kids were struggling with all the same things.
Yeah.
Except for there was one exception. There's still the issue with sex outside of marriage, pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You had drugs, okay. Alcohol,
okay.
Suicide. You had all of these things. We didn't have the same type of gang activity. That was the one exception to the rule. There were definitely
wannabes. Doing the same kind of things in the basements of these rural areas as they were doing the urban areas.
Well, and so I began to think, how does this happen? Okay. Well, there's a common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you have a television, wherever you have a radio, wherever you have a CD player, wherever you have the internet, you have the same building blocks of culture, especially for the youth today.
But off air, you said that there may be a difference with the homeschoolers. In fact, it may be worse with the homeschool.
Well, one of the things I've seen is that, you know, for children who are in public school, they're at least locked up for 8 hours a day. They're being supervised for all that time, and that's not always the case in the home school. There's a lot of moms that have younger children. They're trying to manage lots of children, lots of laundry, lots of housework. And frankly, there's a lot of elective time that's not being monitored for many children.
And you get a 13 or 14-year-old boy is pushing back on his mom, and he's not going to pay attention to her structure, and he might pay attention to the structure offered him in the public school, but he's not going to give in to his mother's structures, and so therefore he's probably going to take advantage of more liberty. And if he takes advantage of more liberty, but he doesn't have the self-control and responsibility to carefully control his own access to media and computer games, he may be winding up in worse shape than your average homeschool boy.
Well, you know,
your average public school boy.
That's right. I know a young man who was homeschooled. And his own testimony is that for 4 years during high school, when he should have been doing schoolwork, and supposedly doing that on the internet, when mom wasn't looking, he was spending all that time viewing porn and playing video games.
Oh, boy.
And thankfully, the Lord delivered him from that, and he today wears a nice big T-shirt that says, "Jesus Christ set me free from pornography addiction," and he shares and helps other people. But that's one example where he had more access, more time, because he was not in a government school where that at least he had to have some monitoring going on.
Wow. Philip, I mean, it just seems to me that the demons from hell have been unleashed in this area of media. I mean, you think about the difference between somebody like Almanzo Wilder, farmer boy, back in the 1880s. You know, in order for him to have access to these whores that show up on the internet, on every other website, he would have to get on his horse and ride for 2 days into New York City and might be able to find a brothel somewhere. But the average boy, right, raised on the average farm in New York State in 1880, didn't have nearly the access to these extremely unhealthy cultural systems that that our boys, our 14, 15, 16-year-old boys, have access to today.
It's crazy. You know, well, let's go back to when I was in school back in the 80s. We didn't have as much access as there is today. So we don't have to go back that far to see that things are shifting very quickly. And, of course, that's mostly due to the internet. You know, there was a day when you would have to go out and find trouble if you were looking for trouble. But today, so many parents have allowed trouble and invited it right into the home.
I mean, think back in the 1970s and 1980s. You know, if somebody wanted access to pornography magazines, it was difficult to get access to them. You could barely get access to them at a 7-Eleven. You might have access in some X-rated shop in a downtown district, but that didn't apply to so many kids, so many 16, 17, 18. I understand there are ways in which little boys had access to some of this stuff, but it wasn't nearly what it is in the present day.
Well, and no matter what it was and how they had that access, there's always a common denominator.
Yeah.
And that's an irresponsible adult in their life.
Yeah.
Not looking after them.
Right.
Not
right.
Shepherding them.
Right, right.
It's the same today.
Almost the same issue today.
Same issue, but bigger pitfalls.
Yeah, all over the place. Friends, just a moment, we're going to talk a little bit about computer games, because this is a big one for a lot of homeschool families. Media, culture, computer games, this is where the battle is raging most ferociously in the present day. Be back in just a moment to talk with Philip Telfer on computer games.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Philip Telfer from Media Talks is with me today on the Generations broadcast. By the way, Philip, you have come out with a very important documentary that I think needs to be viewed by seeing every single family, every single Christian family, certainly, and certainly every single homeschool Christian family in America, and that is Captivated. I mean, this is a very important video. I think it addresses issues that is just tearing at the heart of the Christian family in the present day, and is probably yielding a problem that is unmatched by any single society, ever, any single civilization in the history of mankind, and that is what media, computer games, and computer, any kind of computer video sort of presentation is doing to the minds and the hearts of so many children, boys especially, in our present day. Captivated. Important video. I'm going to talk to that for just a moment.
Sure. Well, I spent a year making this movie and traveled the country interviewing 21 experts, including yourself. And we also featured 7 inspiring stories of individuals, families, and really addressing media from every possible angle that we could.
Mm-hmm.
And from not only content, how much we're consuming. We use the all-you-can-eat media buffet analogy,
mm-hmm.
where we're not only piling so much on our plates and over-consuming, but then you have to ask yourself, what is on the plate? And there's so much toxic media being piled up on the plates that are poisoning the hearts and minds of so many in this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 8, do not be taken captive by philosophy or empty deception.
Yeah.
And I believe that so many people, when they do not take their thoughts captive, which mm-hmm. we're called to do, they can be taken captive by the philosophies and empty deceivers today. Now, in Paul's day when he wrote that, you had to go out and find those deceivers and find those philosophers. But today, parents are inadvertently allowing these philosophies right into the home. They're lining them right up. They're saying, here, come right into the house. You have access to our children.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in different rooms. Just find one of us and have your way.
Computers have really opened up this, and electronic media has opened this up to so many of our children. We really need to pay attention when our children are listening to the music or surfing the internets, and it just seems to me that this beast is so significant that we're ignoring it, and the results are going to be catastrophic. It's going to be destructive. This is bigger than a lot of things. It's bigger than public schools. This is bigger than a lot of things we've dealt with. And Philip, years ago, we got rid of the television set, and we thought everything was going to be fine. We haven't been watching television for 9 to 15, 20 years as a family. But our children are tuning in more and more to electronic media. Most of the time, they play it out loud so we can hear it. But I wonder sometimes if they're spending too much time on the computer. I wonder if they're spending too much time interacting with people on Facebook. I wonder if they're spending too much time checking their email. I'm wondering if they're spending too much time playing computer games. Are these important concerns for the average family, including myself, who happens to be, you know, the big family guy trying to maintain some kind of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century and retaining civilization and social systems for future generations? Here I am, the big expert. But it's a concern for me.
It is. It's a concern for me and my household as well.
Yeah.
So, no, it's huge. And I was speaking at a conference this weekend, and, you know, I described it as the elephant in the room. And in this case, you have to eat it. And like they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Yeah.
It is such a huge topic.
And much of the people that attended this conference over the weekend, you mentioned to me off air, I hope I can mention it on air, is that many of these people, not all of them, but many of the people in this conference were from a Mennonite sort of a background.
That's right.
And which means that it's affecting everybody.
That's right.
This is affecting everybody. This beast is getting its tentacles around hundreds of millions of people, and nobody is safe. Nobody is safe.
That's correct.
And Philip, here's another sad story. I mean, I ran into a homeschool leader who I thought was really protecting his children big time from some of these media influences, but this media made its way into their home and had incredibly destructive influences upon their children. I was shocked to hear some of his stories. I prayed with him, and hopefully, you know, he's going to retain something of the hearts of his children. But man alive, the media influences upon his children have done some damage, and they have done something in corrupting his children in the area of sexuality.
Well, you know, one of the things we have to do is the father is the family shepherd.
Yeah.
And when you think of shepherding, I actually raised some sheep for a while when I moved out of Chicago to rural Illinois. Thinking that God entrusted sheep to many leaders before he entrusted people to them, and maybe I could learn something. Well, I wasn't that great of a shepherd, and I was actually very typical for the hobby farm, and that was, you know, I wasn't really a shepherd at all. I wasn't living with the sheep. I wasn't spending time with the sheep.
Yeah.
I just built some pretty strong fences.
Yeah.
And you know what? But that's not the type of shepherding that God has called us to do.
We got to be connected. We got to know what's going on. We got to be really right there beside the sheep.
So, you know, there's a place for fences. There's a place to have a sheepfold for safety.
Yes.
But real shepherding is about living and walking with the sheep. And we need to walk and help our children with all of these issues. This has been changing so fast. Now, Kevin, you and I would be called what they call digital immigrants. We have seen the changes, and we actually can remember the day before cell phones, before satellite television, before the internet. But our children, most of our children have grown up, and that's all that they have known. And we forget about that, and they're called the digital natives.
Yeah.
And so they haven't immigrated into it. That's all they've ever known. We need to help them walk through and navigate some really sticky things that we're all facing today.
Computer games. We want to get to computer games because computer games are taking over. I mean, if there was one thing that has really changed the landscape, especially for young men, it has been computer games.
That's right. And it goes all the way back to 1972, the year I was born.
Yeah.
Something more significant happened than my birth. And that was the first video game console hit the market.
And I was thinking Atari. Or I was thinking Pong.
Nope. Well, you'd be wrong on both accounts.
Okay.
Most people would think Pong. It was actually the Magnavox Odyssey.
Okay.
And this thing was so simplistic that all the controller could do was control a white blip across the screen. So in order to change the games, you literally had to take a plastic sheet with the game board, and you stuck it up on your 19-inch television when you wanted to change the game. And they weren't sure. This was a risky maneuver. They didn't know if this would really embed in the homes. But in 2007, I think that was answered once and for all. And the video game Halo 3 hit the market, and in 24 hours set a record. They sold $170 million worth of games.
For computer games?
No, not just a record for computer games. This was a entertainment industry record.
For any kind of entertainment, in the history of entertainment.
Nothing had sold $170 million worth of anything in 24 hours.
You're right, even movies.
That's right.
Nobody has ever sold $170 million in the motion picture industry within 24 hours. I mean, you talked about 24-hour sale.
Well, you know, there has been some movies since then, and really the closest thing was the Harry Potter book. The Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows sold $210 million in 24 hours. But that game Halo was surpassed the next year by another game, Grand Theft Auto 4. It sold $310 million worth of video games in 24 hours. That was surpassed in 2010 by the game Call of Duty Black Ops. Sold $360 million worth of video games in 24 hours.
Who's buying these video games? Who buys them?
Well, it's interesting. It's not just kids buying these. And by the way, these games that I've just mentioned, these are M-rated games. That's the equivalent of an R-rated movie.
Okay.
And so not only parents and kids buying these, but even grandma and grandpas, you know, buying the gifts for their, because that's what they ask for Christmas.
Yes.
You know, that's what they ask for their birthdays.
So they go to what, 14-year-old boys? 20-year-old boys? 27-year-old boys?
Oh, no,
34-year-old
boys? These are 8, 10-year-old boys, 12-year-old boys playing these games.
Okay. Wow. And they're violent games. Many of them are violent games.
Oh, well, Grand Theft Auto 4, you play a criminal where you can bludgeon people to death, kill cops, pick up prostitutes, deal drugs, jack cars.
Incredible. You know, recently we've had a lot of stories where you have young 13, 14-year-old boys that are bludgeoning their 85-year-old grandmothers to death. I mean, some of the stories have just turned my toenails inside out. When I read these stories from FoxNews.com, I don't like to read them on the air because they're just horrendous. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, wow, you have these boys out there doing such incredible works of violence on grandmothers. I mean, their own grandmothers. And we're talking about just little suburban neighborhoods, you know, and nice little towns in America where these boys overnight are turned into some of the most incredible, horrible murderers you've ever seen. They must be learning something from these cultural devices.
There must be
something immoral picking up.
Well, if you think of any positive aspect of video game technology, there are some.
Yeah.
And I am very grateful for pilots who take flight simulation courses and learn how to fly jets in precarious situations long before they take passengers onto a real plane. But think about that. They're using video technology to learn how to do something in real life.
So if you have
boys playing games where they're bludgeoning people to death day after day, no wonder that you're going to see that acted out in real life.
Philip, as families analyze computer games, what are the questions they need to be asking? What do they need to be looking at?
Well, I have four concerns. Mm-hmm. When I have either, whether it's a parent or even if it's a young man who comes and says, Philip, I have some questions about video games. I said, well, let me give you my top four concerns. Now, my first concern is this, morality issues. And that is, as a Christian, is there anything in that video game that if you were to do in real life would break one of the moral laws of God?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a concern.
Yeah.
And I think every Christian should be concerned
about
that.
What you're saying is as your kid is playing this character in Grand Theft Auto, he wins if he steals the most cars. He wins if he bludgeons the most cops to death. He wins if he breaks God's law with impunity as much as you possibly can. And any time you have entertainment devices that are effectively saying it's okay to break the laws of God, you're sending the wrong message to your child, and you're doing it again and again and again and again. And if he's getting addicted to the game, then he's probably more or less becoming a wicked, evil individual as he's playing this character in the game.
Well, and so many young people claim. They say, well, you know, it doesn't really affect me. And besides, I would not do these things in real life. Well, here's the thing I want to point out to parents. if you hear those kind of weak, very weak arguments. And that, as Jesus said, it's not just what you do, it starts with the heart. And if a man even lusts after a woman in his heart, he's guilty of committing adultery. If he has anger in his heart towards his brother, he's guilty of committing murder before God. And so it's not just enough to say, well, I'm not doing these things in real life. If you are pretending to do these things, you have to give an account before God of these.
These teenage killers that we read about in the news, what are the influences on them? Are they listening to Nat King Cole? Are they you know, playing jigsaw puzzles with their families? Are they, you know, where do these teenage killers come from?
Well, you know, they're flooding their hearts and minds with angry music, despairing music, violent music.
Yeah.
They're filling their time with violent video games.
Yeah.
They are exposing their hearts and mind to violent movies, movies that with gratuitous violence, glamorizing murder and killing. And you know what? Garbage in equals garbage out. The Apostle Paul said, you know, what you sow is what you're going to reap. You know, and if you reap to the flesh, that from the flesh you are going to get corruption.
You mentioned this guy, Phil Chalmers, who's written a book called Inside the Mind of the Teenage Killer. What does he find in his research?
You know, Phil's been studying this for many years, and he's actually gone in and interviewed any of these teenage killers who are still alive and in prison.
Yes.
And it's pretty consistent. You know, it's not, by the way, it's not just the fact that they were playing violent video games. It's not just the fact that they were watching these horrific kind of movies. A lot of times it's parental neglect. There's not a loving dad involved.
Yeah.
There's so many issues. It's just not one factor.
Yeah. But more and more, what are we seeing? We're seeing young men who have no male influences in their lives or no positive male influences in their lives. We find young men that are more or less abandoned by their own fathers. They have very little connection with their own fathers. The fathers are busy. They're in the basement playing computer games for 70, 80 hours a week. Their influences in their lives are terrible. And you know, Phil, I'll tell you one thing. You hardly ever today see young men who are doing things that you would say are wholesome. I mean, they're not playing the wholesome games. They're not playing ball in softball parks, except maybe on a Saturday morning with some team sort of opportunities. But they're just not out there playing the games. They're not being mentored. They're not being coached.
Yes, but why do you have to if you can have football on your TV screen that you can play? Or you can play soccer, and I've teased a lot of young men, and I says, I guarantee you could find, you know, on your block, half a dozen guys, all in their rooms playing their sports games on their video game consoles, but the park is empty and no one's out. You know, you mentioned, just so many young boys without fathers. I was speaking to a group once, and a 12-year-old boy came to me, and he said, you know, Mr. Telfer, a lot of things that you're sharing are right on. He says, I agree with you. He says, you know, I live with my grandma and my grandpa. Well, that tells you a little bit about his background there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, to be honest with you, he says, I play a lot of video games, and he says, and they're bad. They're violent.
Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. I shouldn't be playing them.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, he says, I'm lonely.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are a lot of young people like that.
No friends.
Mm-hmm.
No mentors, nobody who loves them, nobody who really wants to spend the time with them. And Philip, what I've heard is that we are on the cusp of something even worse soon to come. I spoke to somebody who worked for a police department in Florida over the weekend, and this man said this: the inner city African Americans, you know, the tens of millions of boys, and 70% of them are born without fathers. Okay, so 70% of tens of millions of these young boys are born without fathers. We're talking about tens of millions. It turns out, he says, they're being raised by their grandmothers. The only thing left between total insanity, total violence, absolutely total violence, blood on the streets up to the elbows, the only thing standing in the way is grandmother. He says, when these grandmothers pass away, there is nothing left. There will be nothing left for total anarchy on the streets of America because they have no fathers. This is the fundamental problem. They have no fathers. Many of them, many of them have no mothers anymore. And they do, and if they lose their grandmothers, it's all done. It's all gone. So we are, I think, Philip, within 10 to 20 years of total chaos. I mean, total chaos in the streets of America. Unless we unplug the media and bring fathers back. As I see it, those are the two things that have to happen if society is going to survive in America in the years to come. I mean, this is frightening stuff. You know, as I talk to some of these people who are just barely keeping society together in the police systems, in the prison systems in America, it appears that we are in trouble as a nation. We need to get fathers back. We need to bring, sanity back to the inner city and really to everybody.
That's right.
Let's go over some of the other things, though, that are affecting computer games and the things we need to be paying attention to. Number one, you said morality.
Yes.
Morality is a concern. But redeeming the time, that's the second thing you've mentioned before.
Yes.
And there's a lot of boys wasting time.
That's right. And once again, going back to that all-you-can-eat buffet analogy, you know, piling more and more on their plates, the average teen now consumes 7.5 hours of media every day. That's 53 hours a week. It's a full-time job,
man,
just keeping up with
the
media.
The average teen.
That's the average teen.
53 hours a week.
53 hours a week. Now, that's
that's
according to the Kaiser Family Foundation's research. Mm-hmm. Now, if you include what they call media multitasking, that means doing two things at once, it's closer to 11 hours a day.
Or 77 hours a week.
That's right.
Wow. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is out of control. And I made this point before, that 70% of young men aren't grown up by 30 years of age, up 30% in 1970. And we have a workforce that is imploding. We have less and less workers able to do the work in order to supply the sustenance for 80 million retiring baby boomers. And the results are going to be catastrophic. And unless we can get these boys away from these games and doing productive work. But as you know, Philip, we have twice as many 23-year-old girls with college degrees as boys, meaning that girls are a little more engaged. We have girls getting the jobs. We have boys losing the jobs. 95% of the jobs lost in the last recession were lost to men. 75% of the jobs regained in the last couple of years have been regained by women. So boys aren't getting the jobs. They won't get the jobs. They won't be prepared to do the jobs. And there will be nobody to marry our young ladies. I mean, the amazing thing about all this, Philip, is it's all happened in the last 20 years.
That's right.
Society is falling apart, falling off the cliff in the last 20 years. But how do we salvage our boys? Let's say that there are 10,000 people listening to this program right now, and all 10,000 families say, I understand that the rest of the world is going to hell in a handbasket, but I don't want to go to hell in a handbasket. I don't want my kids to go to hell in a handbasket. I want my girls to marry boys with a clue, boys with a vision for life, boys that will be productive in society in the years to come. What if those 10,000 families want productive boys? What do they do?
Well, for one, you're going to have to pitch the video game console into the trash.
Okay, that so you're saying it's just a waste of time.
I believe so. Well, and once again, I give you two concerns. The third one is these things are addictive.
Yeah.
Common sense.
Are they always addictive?
Well, they're addictive on different levels. You know, common sense will tell you what more and more research is proving, mm-hmm, that these things have an effect. I mean, ask any mom who gets her son a little game, mm-hmm, or allows him to get online to play some supposedly innocent game. And what does that boy want to do all the time? He wants to play game.
Does he ever control himself? Does he ever establish limits for himself? Does that ever happen with any boy in America? Ever?
You know, unless he is a young man who's in God's Word, has a heart for Jesus Christ, and is establishing convictions in his own heart for pursuing things that have purpose and things that will be meaningful in the kingdom of God. Yes, I've met them. But that's because they're being governed by the Lord Jesus Christ.
They're probably not buying computer games.
No. Well, and many of them are banning them themselves. That's what happened when I was 17 years old. I was convicted about a lot of the time that I was wasting. I went on a two-week media fast. My eyes were really open in those 2 weeks. I hadn't realized. I was that typical teen saying, it doesn't affect me.
So three questions so far we ask as parents. Is it moral? What's the morality involved in this game? Secondly, is this redeeming the time? Thirdly, is this addictive? Does this have an addictive influence upon my young boy or my young daughter? What's the fourth issue?
Fourth one is the greatest concern that I have, and that's what I call the false sense of accomplishment. You know, the average game takes about 50 or 60 hours to solve. And when that boy finishes that game, you could ask him, what have you accomplished? Now, he may say, well, I got the high score, or I got a better score than my friend, or I got it done faster than somebody else did. But if he's talking to me, because I've had this happen so many times, and I'll ask them, what have you accomplished? Well, they don't want to give the stupid answer to the media expert guy, you know. Yes. So they'll look and they'll say, well, you know, that's a good question. And I said, what else could you have done? You know, but this false sense of accomplishment, they've been made to think that they've done something, that they've fought some battle that they won, that they rescued some damsel in distress, that they have built some kingdom up, or they have torn some kingdom down, or they've even rescued a planet from zombies or whatever it may be. But in the meantime, they're that energy that is being spent on that video game should have been spent in real things, because God has a plan for their life. God has real things for them to do, things to be preparing for. And so I'll ask him, you know, so you get done with that game, how has that prepared you to be a better father? How has that prepared you to be a better member in your church? How has that prepared you to be a better husband?
Does it have a negative influence? Does it disable them from understanding what true dominion involves? And so therefore they become the most ineffective and inefficient workers possible. And who wants to hire those guys? Because they have a false sense of what really is a true accomplishment. They have no concept of how to take dominion. And they have been programmed the wrong way. Their mind is programmed the wrong way to make them a really, really unproductive person that really shouldn't be hired by any company in America.
Well, you know, and once again, if we don't think these things are addictive and controlling our young men, you just challenge them to unplug. And what are you going to get? You're going to get chaos. They're going to go off the deep end if you try to take their video games away from them because they're addicted. But I'll tell you what, we interviewed a camp. It's called Shepherd's Hill Academy for the documentary Captivated.
Yeah.
And in this camp, these are young people that have behavioral problems to the point that they're on their way to jail or the grave. And so it's an intervention program. It's a 1 year residency program. They come in, and guess what they find out on their first day? No media.
Yeah.
No video games, no music, no television, and they think they're going to die. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Not only do they not die, and nobody's ever died from in that camp from not having media for that year, but they begin to thrive. And many of the behavioral issues that nobody else could manage, even through, you know, as they tried to manage them through drugs, through psychology, you know, simply not only taking the media away from them, but then making them do hard things. You know, they have to build their own cabins, build their own bunks, learn how to cook over a wood fire. And a lot of those things, they begin to discover. And, you know, we interviewed not only the counselors and the campers, but we interviewed the campers. Mm-hmm. And they said themselves, I love this. I love not having all of these distractions, and we're doing real things here. You know, so they've been, but you know what? What happens at Shepherd's Hill can happen in your home. You can say, you know what? You're going without this media, and you're going to be doing some hard things. We're going to do it together, and we're going to do some great things together. And you can't, the media has become very convenient for moms and dads to just occupy the child and to give them some of their own time, their own free time, or their time to do their own things. But you know what? Parenting takes a lot of work. And if you, and so a lot of parents don't want to get rid of the video game because it occupies their childhood.
Is your recommendation, Philip, to pretty much get rid of all computer games?
That's my recommendation, but I think it's dangerous just to get rid of things without replacing them with something
right.
that's better.
Right.
And so you can't just go in and say, hey, we're getting rid of the video game console. You know, my here's a good example. You know, when I was a rebellious teen, I regret it. I feel horrible. I've repented of the things I put my parents through. I am so blessed to have a mom and dad that love the Lord. And they really did a great job, you know, raising me. And one of the downfalls was I went to government school and had all sorts of influences that. But I remember during the days of my rebellion, you know, still today it's very popular to have the peace symbol, you know.
Right.
And I used to wear that, and it used to drive my father crazy. He hated that symbol, and you know, he could have just said, "Give it over to me." I'm not allowing that to be worn, but he did something different. He went and he got a symbol. He got a dove, you know, which is a symbol of peace and a better symbol
yes,
for peace.
Right.
And he says, I want to make an exchange with you. Mm-hmm. I want you to give me that poor symbol and I want to give you this better one. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And that's just a small example. When we come to media, it's not just getting rid of the video games. It's like that video game has replaced something in your responsibility that you've neglected. And so we need to begin to sit down as a family and say, what have we been neglecting as a family?
Yeah, I wonder if a father just said, you know what, I'm going to spend the next month or month and a half with my son out in the wilds where we don't have access to internet, and I may actually have to take a little bit of a sabbatical for my work, and we may have to actually pinch some pennies here to make this work, but I'm going to spend this time, I'm going to spend a lot of time, and we're going to go out into the wilds, we're going to live, you know, off the land and just enjoy God's creation for the next 6 weeks. And I wonder if that would maybe help the relationship. And I wonder if it would help the son begin to see that the world is made up of something that is real, something that is actually created by God, something that has a purpose. And I wonder if he'd begin to see how the relationships with his own family, with his own father, would be so much more important than the relationships, the fake relationships he has on the internet with these people he plays the games with.
That's right. And I think there's all sorts of things, whether it's going out in the woods for 6 weeks or whether it's just saying, hey, let's get out to the wood shop. Let's build something together.
Yeah.
You know, I went to a family camp, a homeschool family camp recently. And they had a father-son project. On Monday, they gave each father 4 sheets of cardboard, 3 rolls of duct tape, and instructions to build a boat in 3 days that would hold 2 people to race across a lake and back.
Wow.
And I tell you, I thought we were all building submarines, not boats. But, you know, out of the 20 boats that were built, I think only 4 of them sunk right off the bat. Most of them made it across the lake.
Okay.
And more than half of them made it even back. But you know what? What a memorable thing, you know. So even something like that, what son wouldn't say, hey, you know, his dad shows up with some crazy idea. Hey, son, look at this. We got some cardboard. We got some duct tape. We're going to go build a boat, float across this lake.
Philip, what are the long-term effects that are going to result from this technological electronic explosion that have happened in basements and homes all across America? What's the effects of all of this?
Well,
can you see what's going to happen in 20 years, 30 years from now?
Well, first of all, there's a desensitizing effect when it comes to all the content, the violence, the sex, all of these things desensitize a person and they become numb.
Yeah.
And it so becomes like a drug-induced state of, you know, just continually intoxicated by the steady stream of media. Now, the difference is that for the most part, you know, these games are not going to have the same physical effect that drugs do when they come into the body, which continue to just destroy the body. And so it has a more of a longevity. And so that's why you see today, and by the way, you know, when that video game console, Magnavox Odyssey hit the market in 1972. That was the year I was born. And that means that the boys, I was one of the first of that generation that had the video game consoles in the home. And unless something radically changes, then Those appetites don't go away. They only continue to grow. The average age of a video game player in America, according to the video game industry, they track these things. It's not an 11-year-old boy. It's not a 19-year-old boy. It's a 34-year-old man.
Oh, wow.
That's the average age of a video game player in America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect older men as well.
It's going to affect their marriages. It's going to affect their parenting. It's going to affect their work.
Yes.
It affects everything.
Right. Right. And it's only going to get worse for the next 10 to 15, 20 years unless people begin to understand what it's doing to them. And I think they just have to open up their eyes to these sorts of things. And hopefully your video, Captivated, will open the eyes of some. It's almost as if it's preaching a message. You know, as you're preaching the Word of God to people, occasionally lights go on. They realize they have been going in the wrong direction. They've been doing the wrong things. They've been putting their hearts in the wrong direction. They have not been redeeming the time, for the days are evil, or porneia is what the word says there. They have been giving way to wasting time. They've been displacing what they should be doing with other things they should not be doing. And when you begin to preach these messages, either in conferences or through your video, Captivated, I wonder if the bells are ringing and the lights are turning on and people are beginning to see that they have made some very horrendous mistakes. They've been going the wrong direction and they need to change.
Are people seeing this? Yes, and that's why we do it. Otherwise, you know, why would you spend all the money and all the time to do something that you don't think is going to have an impact? We have seen that impact, and I've seen the impact over the years of just addressing the issue, because you know what? I'm grateful to you, you know, Kevin. You're a pastor. You speak about this subject. You're a rarity. There are too many pastors that are not speaking about this subject.
They have to speak on this. If they're going to have churches in 20 years from now, if they're going to have fathers and pastors and elders and families that are halfway functional in the years to come, boy, I can see this as a central issue. The church has to deal with this one.
I had a father call me, and he had sat down with his 16-year-old son to watch Captivated. And he says, Philip, my son has never reacted to a movie, even a Hollywood movie, as he reacted to your documentary. And he said, I'm not saying that he doesn't enjoy movies and really get excited about them, but he said, I've never seen something that caused change right away. He says, we got done. He said, Dad, that was revealing. Dad, people are not talking about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he said, Dad, I think I've become an addict to my phone, and I'm going to go a month without it just to unplug. And his dad was jaw-dropped and says, I can't believe this. I've never seen my son react and actually change. But you know what? So we hope it can be a catalyst, something that the families can use as a family to sit down and hopefully kickstart some thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Philip Telfer, he and I will be speaking in Boise, Idaho this weekend, and you need to catch his video, Captivated, as well, available at the website, and it's Media Talk
101.org or CaptivatedTheMovie.com.
MediaTalk101.org or CaptivatedTheMovie.com.
That's right.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with our program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. We are bringing up intensely relevant subjects on this program today, especially. You need to pass this program on to your friends and family members. I mean, this is an eye-opening issue that I think needs to be addressed by tens of thousands, actually tens of millions of families across America. Media does matter, and the decisions you make in regard to media will impact future generations. Folks, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.